Welcome to Q&A with TNK. They've surfed the interwebs. They've contemplated, ruminated, and speculated. They've checked the teletype, and now they're ready to answer your questions. Here are your hosts, Tiffany and Kristen.
Hello and welcome to Q&A.
With TNK, I'm Kristen.
I'm Tiffany.
And Tomato's over there on the bed groaning. Huh. You might hear her.
Huh. She's tired.
She just chewed on a big old femur in the woods.
Yep. It's hard life being a dog.
Yeah. So the question is, what are your favorite fairy tales that you use with your children? Mm-hmm. Who is the question from?
Oh, this question, I have to look it up. This question was from,
she's scrolling.
I'm scrolling.
Sally in South Carolina.
Oh, there it was. Sorry. I couldn't read it through the list. We have a lot of questions on this list. Okay. Sally, favorite fairy tales. This one is hard for me because I realize that I love fairy tales.
Yeah.
I like fairy tales. I don't love them and read them by myself.
Like Lisa Murphy?
Yeah. Like the weirdo Lisa Murphy.
We just tried to contact her to see if she could do an episode with us quick about this because she is so passionate about fairy tales.
Yeah.
But she's busy, so.
Yeah. She's being a super aunt right now, so yeah. You can't fault her for being a good auntie.
Okay. So,
but it's hard for me because we have fairy tales in the classroom.
Yeah.
And I have a compilation of them.
Uh-huh.
I've yet to have a group of kids that really clings on to them in the same way that I almost wish they would.
Right. Yeah. I love fairy tales. Like, yeah. there's a certain few that I'll use, and there's, ones that I've never used.
Yeah. I feel like there are always other weird fairy tales
right.
out there for you to learn about.
Yeah. So, my top is Three Billy Goats Gruff.
Oh, yeah. That's my top
two. I love that one. And I specifically love it because it is so fun to act out.
Mm-hmm.
We have it in a flannel board story, so we use the flannel board story, and the kids can use the pieces after we tell the story to retell.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also seen the kids reenacted on the bridge out in our outdoor classroom.
Yep, we do that too. Trip, trop.
Yes!
And somebody pretends to be the troll.
Yes, and you can go under our bridge. Mm-hmm. So,
same.
Oh my gosh, it's the best.
Uh-huh.
That is so, the, trip, trop, so trip, fun. Trop.
Yeah.
Who's that tromping over my bridge?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
they're just scared enough of the troll every time
yes.
you tell the story or read the story. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, there's like, so if Lisa were on this podcast with us, she'd be telling us all about, you know, the whole psychology behind all of these fairy tales. Mm-hmm. Because there is, like, this underlying layer to them
yeah.
that... It's like symbolizing other things.
Mm-hmm. And they're dark and weird, so the kids
yeah.
don't have to deal with dark and weird things.
Yeah. But I don't really get into all that symbolizing stuff. I just like the stories because I like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're good stories.
Yeah, and they're fun to retell.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun to retell. Also, probably the next on the list would be... The Gingerbread Man.
Yeah. Yeah. We read that every year. And when we make gingerbread men.
Yeah. And I like it because of the ending in the real Gingerbread Man. He gets eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, we eat gingerbread men. Like, mm-hmm. And the kids are all shocked because, you know, the ones that their parents would read to him, you know, he doesn't get eaten or they mm-hmm. like pretend he didn't get eaten or something because they don't mm-hmm. want their kids to be sad that the gingerbread man is gone. But I love reading the part where he got eaten and then looking at their faces and seeing how in shock they are
mm-hmm.
that a book would end that way.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it.
It's great.
And I like to talk about how the sly fox and how just using all of those kind of rare words that they maybe don't hear.
Yeah.
Ooh. The Gingerbread Man. And Jan Brett has some great follow-up gingerbread, like Gingerbread Friends and Gingerbread Baby, and those are fun to read, too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like Gingerbread Baby a lot.
Yeah.
I like all the Jan Brett stories. I never thought of them as fairy tales.
Right.
That was a question that I tried to ask Kristen before this episode, and she was like, nah, don't ask me now. Ask me when we're recording. So my question is, what is a fairy tale? Because initially you think like, oh, Cinderella and Snow White, Rumpelstiltskin.
Right.
Ooh, I do love Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah. See?
And the Princess and the Pea.
Yeah. I have a Princess and the Pea on my list. And mm-hmm. the reason the Princess and the Pea is on my list is because there's a book. I love follow-up books, like books that are a spin-off or follow after the case or whatever, called Princess and the Pizza. Oh, it is such a good book. It is written by Mary Jane and Herm Osh. I don't know if I'm saying his last name right, but it's A-U-C-H. Mary Jane and Herm Osh. Herm.
It's an interesting name. Mary Jane and Herm Osh. It sounds like somebody made up that author. Is that like a pen name?
I don't know.
For both of them?
I have no idea. I don't know. But Princess and the Pizza is...
if you're Mary Jane and Herm Osh,
give us a call.
Yeah.
But Princess and the Pizza is so good because she has to like... she's in a competition, like a cooking competition, to win over the heart of the prince. Mm-hmm. So she's had there stay overnight in the castle. And of course... she sleeps on this big old lumpy bed and doesn't get any sleep, and then fails to make the pizza, and then all of a sudden she gets like certain ingredients and she's able to make, she's supposed to make a dish, not a pizza. She ends up making a pizza as hers, and then she wins.
Because pizza's delicious. Fun fact.
And that's because that's how most fairy tales end. Yeah, so Princess and the Pea is one of my...
Jack and the Beanstalk would be on my list.
Yeah, see? I know. Yeah.
The
Golden Harp Lady. And have you read The Land of Stories yet?
No.
I don't even know
what this is. Have we talked about this before?
Probably. It's like juvenile, fantasy fiction chapter books. Amazing.
Gonna add it to my list of things.
It's written by Chris Colfer, the Glee guy.
What?
Yes, they're good. I mean, they're not like the foreshadowing is so like duh, because it's made for, you know.
It's like reading a Magic Treehouse book.
Not quite as juvenile.
Okay, because I've read a lot of those.
Maybe a cross between Magic Treehouse and Harry Potter, as far as.
Nice.
Yeah. They're so good. It's a whole series.
Ooh, I'm going to get it today.
And it's like five or six books in the series. And these twins have this fairy tale book that their grandmother gave them. And they find out that they can actually jump into the book to fairy tale land.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so it's all about them.
Sounds really fun.
Figuring out their place in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And who their grandmother is in this world. And it's so good. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It is.
We haven't answered my question of what is a fairy tale. Hey.
I don't even know.
I'm raising my hand over here.
What is a fairy tale?
What is a fairy tale? What defines it? What makes it a fairy tale? Is it just retold over generations? Because Alice in Wonderland is on the list of Wikipedia's fairy tales.
Well,
Does that count?
And like a lot of Disney movies that I thought were just Disney movies, but like Snow White.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast.
Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah. Cinderella. Should I read the Wikipedia?
Define it for us.
A fairy tale is a type of a short story that typically features folkloric fantasy characters, such as dwarves, dragons, elves, fairies, giants, gnomes, goblins, mermaids, trolls, unicorns, or witches, and usually magic or enchantments. Fairy tales may be distinguished from other folk narratives, such as legends, and explicitly moral tales, including beast fables. And here's the term is mainly used for stories with origins in European tradition, and at least in recent centuries, mostly relates to children's literature. So,
would the Just So stories of Rudyard Kipling, like Jungle Book, is that fairy tale? Would that be like otherworldly fairy tale?
I don't know.
I know Aladdin is a fairy tale.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Little Mermaid. Ooh, we're not talking about favorites right now. We're just shouting them out. Little Red Riding Hood.
It looks like the Jungle Book might be a fable.
Oh, what's the difference?
Rudyard Kipling. We're totally scrolling our phones right now.
We're just like, tell me, internet, what counts as a fairy tale? Oh. Is this like trying to define pornography?
Yeah.
Like you know it when you see it?
You could be.
You just know a fairy tale when you see one.
Oh my.
Is Frozen like a modern day fairy tale?
Right. What?
Do you want to build a snowman?
It's got. Do you want to build a snowman?
It doesn't have to be a snowman.
Okay, bye. Right. Can fairy tales still be created?
Yeah.
Or is a fairy tale a thing that was long ago? That just the stories keep recycling and. Mm-hmm. Becoming news stories. Mm-hmm.
Did we talk about Three Little Pigs?
No, but that's on my list because I love the Three Little Pigs.
Yeah, I like Three Little Pigs a lot.
Shrek is like a compilation of all the fairy tales, and it's amazing. I love Shrek, the movie. My son Knox is obsessed.
It's a good movie.
Obsessed with Shrek. I'll hoove and I'll poof and I'll blow your house down. That's what made me think of it, because the three pigs are in Shrek and they say, I'll hoof and I'll poof.
Oh, three little piggies.
One of the spin-off books that I like to read when I do like the Three Little Pigs is just to have another book on the shelf for us to pick up is called Huff and Puff. It's by Claudia Ruda. I don't know if I'm saying her last name right, but it's Rueda. And it's kind of an interactive, you blow on the book and it's cool. It's awesome. A really fun, like read aloud, interactive read aloud. Huff and Puff. Love it.
Not really. Three Little Pigs is the one that comes up the most in play.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be the most like, I made a house out of bricks. I'm going to knock it down. I'll huff and I'll puff.
Yeah.
It gets played out the most.
It does.
I had another one right at the tip of my tongue, and then I lost it. Three Little Pigs. Did we say Jack and the Beanstalk?
The Three Bears.
Bears.
You said Jack and the Beanstalk.
Three Bears.
The Three Bears is great. And I love Lisa Murphy's, and we'll link this on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. We've got a Facebook page, a closed group called Q&A with T&K. Lisa Murphy's Once Upon a Time in a Nursery Rhyme, there were three bears, a mama, a papa, and a wee bear. What is going on with our music? And they went walking and talking in the woods when along came a little girl with long, flowing golden hair, and her name was Goldilocks. Well, she was knocking, but no one was there. She didn't care. Home from the woods came the three bears. Someone's beneath my porridge. Do you know this?
I'm familiar, but I don't know the words. Said the papa bear.
Home from the woods came the three bears. Someone's beneath my porridge. Said the mama bear. Hey, mama, me bear. Said the little wee bear. Someone has broken my chair. I have like my hands in front of my eyes and I'm wailing. Then Goldilocks woke up and broke up the party. She was out of there. And I used to say with my kids, then Goldilocks woke up and broke up the party. I'd say it like in a drawl like that. And the kids thought she broke the toilet. Why did she break the toilet? She was out of there. She was out of there. Ba, 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 said the Papa Bear. Said the Papa Bear. Bye, 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 said the Mama Bear. Said the Mama Bear. And then it just goes, I think that ends like, bye, 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 said the Baby Bear or something like that. You should watch Lisa Murphy do it because she's really good at it.
I like can't. I just want to watch you sing that song. Do the kids sing it along with you? Or do they just like stare at you and watch you sing it?
Well, first they stare, but then it's something that they learn as we go. Mm-hmm. I especially love to sing it at forest school.
Oh, yeah.
As we're tromping through the woods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Sing it on your way out to the enchanted forest.
Yeah.
Your drainage ditch.
Our beloved little drainage ditch.
A couple other spinoffs that I absolutely love are The Stinky Cheese Man and Other Fairly Stupid Tales.
Yep. And the Mo Williams, Goldilocks and the Three Dinosaurs.
Oh, I don't think I've ever read that.
It's great.
Is it?
Yeah. The moral of the story is Goldilocks realizes that she's not in the right fairy tale and she leaves.
Oh, fun. I love it. And then the true story of the Three Little Pigs.
Yeah.
And those are both by John, I don't know how to say his last name, Skiza? I don't know. It's S-C-I-E-S-Z-K-A. Why do people have such hard last names? Why can't it just be Peterson?
Everyone
or Nelson or Anderson.
Everyone is named last name Peterson. From now on, if you can't pronounce a name immediately, just say your own last name.
Well, here's the moral of the story.
The moral of this story is...
But that's not a fairy tale. That is that's a fable. Fable.
Oh, so is Goldilocks' fable.
No, but the moral of the story is, I'm just saying it to wrap it up, that you should include fairy tales in your program.
Yeah.
Because they're great. And there's so much fun to reenact for kids. Mm-hmm. And there's so much good language in them.
Mm-hmm. Do you have fairy tale books or do you just tell the story?
I read the books.
What is there like a series of books you recommend?
No.
Or is it just find a good fairy tale?
Yep.
And that's that's the one.
However, for Gingerbread Baby, it's Jan Brett. I mean, Gingerbread Man. That's a really good one. I love Jan Brett because in the sidebars of the pictures, it foretells the story. Mm-hmm. And like my kids catch on to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome.
This says that the Jabberwocky is a fairy tale.
Weird.
Super weird. I would love to read the Jabberwocky to my kids.
I don't even know what that is. I just know it was a dance group at one point. Jabberwockies.
I remember that. What was that show? Was it So You Think You Can Dance?
No, it was different one. It was like,
Next
I don't know.
Dance Crew.
Yeah!
They had the masks, right?
Yes. Yeah.
The Jabberwocky is a Lewis Carroll poem. 'Twas Brillig and the Slithy Toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe.
Mm.
All mimsy were the borogoves and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird and shun, the frumious Bandersnatch.
You need to read that with your kids. They would love it.
It's so weird. And then he defeats him.
In the language.
Yeah, there's some good language
in there. There's good language. Okay. Tell me something good. I go first.
Okay.
Tiffany and I just went for a walkabout around her house because 2 months ago I was at her house. We're recording these all in one day. So we went for a walkabout just now and found lots of bones, but we came across one bone that was super creepy. It was fresh.
Yeah.
It was still like ivory color. It wasn't like white and dirty. It was like ivory.
It was juicy. There were still fatty bits on all the joints. Ugh. But we both immediately were like, ooh, let's poke it.
And we turned it over and it was like, it had to be the foot like the lower foot and foot muscles of a deer.
Yeah.
Is what it looked like.
Because like it was still connected enough with the tendons that.
That when you flicked it up, it moved.
It was like the toes were moving.
They were like phalanges.
Yeah.
Oh, so eggy. But it was so intriguing all at the same time.
The joints were weird to look at.
Yeah.
It looked like a ball robot. And socket. Yeah. It looked like a robot.
We should have brought it back and boiled it.
Oh, what were we thinking? Nature will do it out there, though.
Yeah, well, ew.
As long as tomato doesn't get to it first.
But that's, Tiffany and I found out that in what we have in common is that we both like to take pictures of gross bones.
Yeah.
Mm, we should be forensics.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they're called. Scientists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We should be on that show, Bones. My something good is that on this same exact walk, there had been a pile of what I thought was coyote scat.
Mm-hmm.
And Kristen saw it and she was like, oh, are you sure that's coyote scat? Because it looks like a bird of prey pellet to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had hair in it. And I didn't really even think about like that. I didn't even notice that in the beginning. But then Kristen poked it with a stick and she used her fingers.
Yeah.
To
peel it apart.
Yeah.
And we found like little teeth bones in there or something weird.
They looked bigger than little teeth bones.
Yeah, they were big teeth if they were teeth. Otherwise, it was chunks of bone, but they were really rounded like teeth. That's why I thought it looked more like teeth.
Yeah. But if, I mean, if it was a, maybe it was like a scavenger pellet. And it scavenged and, like, swallowed the teeth. Would a bird swallow those teeth whole? They weren't, like, little mouse teeth. They were, like, big.
Big, like, molar dog teeth. Like, coyote teeth.
Yeah. Maybe not quite that big. No.
Fox?
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Maybe. I don't know. It was gross.
Yeah. It was really gross. But I was like, oh, man.
We got inside. Not Tiffany's many. Like, you should probably wash your hands.
Not many friends of mine would be like, well, this stick isn't working, so I'm just going to grab it with my fingers.
She handed me a stick that was like smaller than the width of a pencil. And as soon as I pressed it onto the scat pile, it like busted.
I tried to break a branch off, but our trees are all so wet and soggy still that it was just like bending. It wouldn't break.
All right.
Got a whole woods that couldn't find a single stick.
So funny. Well, Tiffany.
Well, Kristen.
It's been fun. We'll see you next time on Q&A.
With T and K. Bye.
This has been Q&A with T and K. Thank you for listening. From serious to silly, Tiffany and Kristen are eager to answer your questions. Just email them to q4tnk@gmail.com. That's q4tandk@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Kurt Pearsall, Tiffany's sweet, sweet hubby.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.